broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I think it's terribly wrong for America, and so do the majority of Americans. With all this euphoria that's going on...
You said you've made transgressions. How would you, in your own words, describe the...
The Pacific now is coming out where it represents a war...
I did believe, and still believe, that Senate
are
bill...
Are you gay?
Things are bad.
This is racist, man. Angry guy. Angry. Angry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And through the looking glass, we go. Each and every night here. And don't forget, on our website, you can check out live streaming video of our show right now. And I'm looking up at Wolf Blitzer, and I'm telling you, I'm way, way better looking than Michael Moore, who he's got on a split screen. There's Wolf, and there's, wow. Wow. 877-876-PHIL is our number. On our website, we have streaming video. We also have audio downloads, all kinds of things there available, as well as a special announcement coming out this week on our website. 877-876-PHIL. Some news stories that are just flat ugly, just plain ugly, surfacing during last week's run-up to the vote on the health care plan. And pursuant to the passage of the health care plan, one of them having to do with President Obama's effigy being burned, another having to do with assassination threats. We just got done with an hour-long discussion of the N-word being used toward John Lewis, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Nancy Pelosi. Joining me on the line here is Lloyd Bonafide of Alhambra, California. Mr. Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing executive. He also is a veteran of the United States Navy, served in Korea. Lloyd, good evening to you.
Yes, sir.
And it's good to have you with us.
Well, always a pleasure to be with you, Bill. Thank you.
You wrote me an interesting email, and you said, as a veteran, you don't like what you're hearing. You fought for the freedom of people to express themselves, and this isn't exactly how you thought it would be.
No, sir, I did not fight for the freedom of someone to burn the president in effigy. I don't necessarily agree with the president of the United States, but he's the president. And certainly threatening the life of the chief executive, this is not free speech. And calling people names is not free speech. Because I fought for this country, and I did so in Korea in 1952 with the United States Navy, and there are other veterans out there listening right now, and they know who they are, I think we have a right to express ourselves to the American people and let them know that these are not acceptable ways to express themselves. And that, in point of fact, and especially these Tea Party people.
Well, but you said to me, Lloyd, you would like to go on the air and tell them to stop?
I am directing the Tea Party people, and I directed them as a veteran of this United States military. I'm telling them to stop with their calling people names. And I'm telling all these other people to quit burning the president in effigy. And I can do that because I have the moral right to do it.
And you say you have the moral right to do that because you're a veteran, a combat veteran.
Yes, sir, because I'm a veteran of a foreign war and I fought for this country.
And you mean that quite literally, don't you?
Let's say that again.
You are literally telling people what they can and can't say.
Well, no, I'm not doing that at all. I'm not trying to tell people that that there's no free speech.
No, I know that you're not trying to tell them there's no free speech, but are you not saying that because of your service in the military, you have the right to tell people what they can't say?
Let me explain it to you this way, if I could. I hear a lot of people saying that the military, we fought for people's freedom. And we did. And because of that, we have the moral right to tell people to I don't want to use any language that would be offensive. I really don't. But I think we really have the moral right to tell some of these people to shut their mouths and to just act like human beings.
But do you feel that you should have the legal right?
I think we do have the legal right.
Well, you have the legal right to express yourself. There's no doubt about that.
No, I think I have the legal right to tell you or anybody else to shut their mouths and stop with the nonsense. And I'm directing the Tea Party and the rest of them to shut the hole under their nose when it comes to some of this nonsense.
All right. Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about?
I'm talking about this burning the president in effigy, and I'm talking about the N-word, and I'm talking about all of this. Because, and I mean that literally. And if I hear it around me, then I feel I have the right to go up to that individual and to tell them to stop. And if they don't, I feel I have the right to assault them.
Illegal, and why do you feel you have that right?
I just got done telling.
No, I know you're saying because you're a veteran.
Because I'm a veteran a combat veteran of the United States Navy.
Now, there are some people.
And I'll tell you one other thing, too.
Okay.
I heard this guy that you had on your program a minute ago say that he had the right to call somebody the N-word, like he wanted to call some woman. I wished I would have been there. I wished I would have been there, because I would have messed up his day. Let me tell you that. They'd be picking teeth out of his bowel movement.
All right, I hear you.
You heard me, right?
Yes, sir, I heard you. Okay. And I wanted to ask you this question, Lloyd. Do you feel that you literally have the legal right?
I am telling you that I've got the moral right as a veteran, and all the other veterans do too, to tell these people out there to shut their mouths and to just shut up when they're talking about the president and all of this. And there are a lot of things I'd love to sound off on, but I don't. Because I know that people have the right to free speech, but they don't have the right to open their mouths and say whatever they want about Obama, because they never fought for this country.
All right, so if they fought for the country and they bled for the country...
If they fought and they bled for this country, I don't see where you could tell them anything. But if they didn't, then I could go up to them and tell them to shut their mouths if I don't like what they're saying. Now, I looked on TV the other day, and I saw a young lady who I've always been a great admirer of, this young lady, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
And I was disgusted by what I saw.
Why is that, sir?
I'm sorry?
Why is that, sir? I know that you mentioned to me you were a big fan of Kirstie Alley's.
Yes, sir, and I saw that she had put on this weight. And I thought it was an embarrassment, and I thought she was disgusting. And I am telling her now, if she listens to your program, and I don't know if she does. Do you know if she does, sir?
I don't, sir, I do not know.
I am telling her that she is a disgrace. And this is what I mean. As a veteran of this country, having fought for this country, I think there's a lot that we need to say, and there's a lot of people that need to just shut it.
All right, you're saying for people with the Obama effigy and the N-word, and just shut it, and all of these comparisons, unless they have fought for the country.
If they fought and bled for this country, have fun.
All right. On top of that, you feel like there's some people who, you mentioned Kirstie Alley.
I only mentioned Kirstie Alley because I had been a fan of hers, and I think she's a disgrace to look at. But beyond that, I don't want to mention anything like that. But they don't have, she doesn't have any right to say to me, why did I mind my own business? Because she never fought for this country. And if she had fought for this country, she wouldn't be battling that look that she has now that is as loaded down with excess lard.
All right, I understand what you're saying, Lloyd. I've never had anybody, if it's okay, I've never had anybody who's a veteran of the country, of the armed forces of this country, call up and say, because I'm a veteran, I have a right to say anything I want, but people who haven't fought and bled for this country, they have to keep their mouths shut.
I'm saying that anybody who has not fought for this country, I have a right to tell them to shut up, is what I'm, you don't understand what I'm saying.
You can go up to anybody you want.
Yes, sir.
And what's to keep you from just telling people to shut up who are saying perfectly reasonable things?
I'm not going to tell anyone to shut up who's saying something unreasonable, but I will tell someone to shut up who's burning Obama's in effigy and saying the N-word.
And Kirstie Alley, how does she figure into this?
Mr. Henry, you're trying to make a joke out of...
No, you mentioned Kirstie Alley.
I have the right to go up to her and say, you look like a tub of guts. That's what I've got a right to.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Lloyd Bonafide, a Navy veteran from Korea, on the right of anyone who fought and bled for this country to say what they want, to exercise free speech. But as for the rest of us, veterans probably ought to begin to tell us to shut up every now and again. 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide takes your calls on the topic of free speech next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What did he say?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. But that's essentially what I was just, I wanted to mention to Lloyd Bonafide, who we have on the line right now. He was asking me what, I was reading an email, Lloyd, about my Twitter account.
Yeah, but I don't care. You see, that's an example of you worrying about your Twitter account. I think that's about as frivolous and as asinine a thing as I've ever heard.
I'm not asking anything more. I was just sharing it with you while we were off the air.
But I understand that, but I was offended by your preoccupation with some, GD.
Well, what? Give me an example, and then we'll get to a phone call. We have some phone calls for you. 877-876-PHIL. You were mentioning someone complaining about lack of emergency assistance.
What? I don't understand what you're saying.
You said someone was complaining about FEMA?
Yeah, there was a woman in Kansas where we had a reunion of my unit in the Navy, and the lady was complaining that she didn't get any FEMA assistance, and I slapped her across the face.
Why would you do that?
Because I told you I'm a combat veteran and I have the right to tell some people to shut up.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That's a new one on me, man. Walter, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, this guy has it all wrong. Absolutely all wrong. I spent 8.5 years in. I am a combat veteran. 3 wars, thank you. And this guy doesn't have a clue. You don't sit there. That's the whole reason we went to war, and the whole reason that we fought for what we fought for is for people to have a right to say the things that they wanted to say, not to sit there and say that we can go up and do whatever we want. Just because I'm a combat veteran just makes me a good citizen. that doesn't make me better than anybody else.
Do you want to sit? Yeah, but do you want to sit there and listen to some idiot run his mouth about something he doesn't even know anything about?
Great.
You can say to him.
I turn around and I walk away. I don't have to listen to him. That's my right. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to agree with him. I have a right to walk away.
You have more of a right than that. If you fought in three wars, I only fought in one. You could go over to him and kick him until he's unconscious.
Why would he want to do that? This is a man who fought for...
Wait, no, I want to hear what this man has to say. He's fought in three wars, and he has the right to go up to some whining...
I would never go up to somebody. Why would I want to go and interfere with their rights? Whenever they themselves
because
have a right. That's
what
a U.S. citizen. That's what we fought for. Did you not get that briefing whenever we went through?
And then I come back here, and there's some woman crying about how her toilet doesn't flush, and all I wanted to kick her until she was unconscious.
Oh, come on, man.
Just because you don't agree with somebody does not give you a right to do something violent.
And yeah, I want to jump in if I could.
No, Mr. Henry, this is a discussion between two combat veterans. You got no right. You have no right at all to it.
Yes, I most certainly do. It's my show. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm talking to a man here who's fought for this country as I have. What have you got
Mr.
to
Henry,
do with it?
I think what we're having here is a communication breakdown. And the problem is that we're not understanding the concept. I understand where this man's coming from. My grandfather was like this in a certain respect. Because he didn't think anybody should disparage the country in any way. Okay, I can agree with that to a certain extent. But at the same time, that same person that's disparaging the country has a right to do that. We don't have to agree with it, but they have a right to do it.
These civilians, you know, all they know is their rights. And if I hear one more of them, boy, I'm going to do something.
You know what it sounds like to me, Mr. Bonafide? You need to go over to the VA and sit down and talk to somebody.
Oh, I get it. You think I'm nuts, huh?
No, I didn't say you're nuts. It sounds like you're wrapped a little tight.
I want to talk to this vet. What do you think?
I honestly think that maybe you might want to sit there and think about what it is that you actually... What did you go and join for? What did you join for? Did you join because...
I joined because it was Korea, and we had to go over and stop the communists that were going to take over South Korea.
If you didn't go because you believed in the country and the rights of your fellow man.
Right.
You didn't go.
Exactly.
You didn't sit there and go.
I want to ask you.
You honestly believed that you were doing the right thing for your country.
Do you think I belong in a? Do you think I belong in a psychiatric ward? Yes or no?
Don't ask him that question.
I'm not a doctor.
Mr. Henry does. Mr. Henry's a civilian. Mr. Henry's a civilian. It says I do.
No, I did not. I said you should go and talk to somebody at the VA. Hey, James, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Walter. All right, that's Walter. I'm losing track of everybody here.
I find that funny. You think that I, you know, belong in a boob hatch?
Yeah, you know what, pal? What are you, Porky Pig all of a sudden? I'm talking to...
Porky Pig, is it? Is that... If I heard you right, you called me Porky Pig, didn't you?
You're going... You're not spitting it out.
So you think I'm a babbling, drooling idiot that belongs in the Ripley's Believe It or Not, huh? Is that what you think? Go ahead, say it. You think I belong in a freak museum.
No, I did not say that. Why do you put the words into my mouth that are so offensive? I would never say that about you. I said that maybe you want to go and sit and talk to somebody at the VA. How is that calling you a babbling, drooling idiot that belongs in Ripley's Believe It or Not?
You said that I was Pork Pig, didn't you?
Pork Pig?
Who's the one on the movies?
Porky Pig?
Yeah, that's the guy. And you said that I... Let me tell you, I'm looking at a guy right now. If he isn't Porky Pig, then I'm my own grandfather. And
who's that?
This guy Moore. God, what a kisser on him. Like to take a freight train, a dirt road will go over take a dirt road on a freight train, you know?
Yeah, okay, man. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. The Prius runaway story is debunked. Get a load of that. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What did you do?
Phil
Henry.
What
was it? What's big?
Phil Henry.
Hey, let me just say this, and I don't mean to be, I'm not, you know, Twitter, let me explain something to you. You don't turn me down for a verified account when I'm the guy. Do you understand? The only reason why you do that is if you're stupid. That's the only reason why you turn down Phil Henry when he asks you for a verified account and you say, I'm sorry, we can't verify that you're really Phil Henry. That's because you're stupid. So what we're going to have to do now is I've got to get my producer on it and everybody that we know and yeah, blah, blah. And it isn't because I want to be a pain in the ass. It's that it's business, right? If it's about business, it's about business. So I have to, what are you doing, bud?
I'm going to forward it on to Jason Rantz, that a producer right now.
You're forwarding it?
Yeah.
Well, then forward it.
Yeah, I got to do inline text.
Then put his name in there.
Yeah. Okay, what's his name?
Get out of here. What's his name?
You know his name, man. It's Jason Rantz. I know, fooling around.
Well, fool around with somebody else. There. I just put Jason's name in there. Wait a second. Here he is. And we'll just forward this along because I don't have time to screw around with you people, all right? Do you understand? I know Perez Hilton is far more famous than me, but he's got a verified account. I got to have it. You know, it's about business. Don't tell me you can't verify me. That's like saying, I'll never forget, and this is one of the reasons why we're very excited about the announcement we're going to be making about our website. When Facebook said to me that I couldn't post video of myself because it was a copyright violation. Yeah, a copyright violation of who? Of me? I can't violate my own copyright. You guys are so on top of it over there at Facebook that you're telling me I can't. Why don't you go find the people that are really pirating stuff and bust down on them? Not me, you knuckleheads. You guys too busy counting your money over there? I understand. You know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a great world. All right. Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where our news, talk, and entertainment, truth is our bitch. And here is some truth for you. A New York police, he's a police chief, and he is the chief of police of Harrison, New York, but he says that it was driver error in a Toyota Prius case there in his town that was the problem, and he even went so far as to say that he would have no problem. This is a police chief saying he'd have no problem putting his family and himself in a Prius. I don't know whether that's something you want your police to weigh in on, you know? But since it's a small-town police chief, what the hell? And you know what? Maybe he's one of those outspoken guys. But the bigger issue here, much, much bigger issue, is that the police in this town, in Harrison, New York, have determined, according to them, that driver error was the problem in one Toyota Prius case. Now, you're aware, I'm sure, of these acceleration stories that we've been hearing about Prius and other such mechanical errors and mechanical failings of Toyota automobiles. Well, police in New York, and that would be Harrison, New York, on Monday. So when they say police in New York, you think New York City. And I want you to know that we're talking about a small town in New York. They said it appears on March the 9th, it appears a March 9th crash of a Toyota Motor Corporation Prius was a case of driver error and not unintended acceleration. The driver reported that it sped up on its own down a driveway despite her braking. The vehicle accelerator in this case was depressed 100% at the time of collision. There is absolutely no indication of any brake application, said Captain Anthony Maricini, acting chief of the Harrison Police Department, during a Monday afternoon press conference in Harrison, New York. Maricini was asked if the incident was caused by driver error. He said, I believe that this is what this case is telling us. He said this of the data that police investigators were gathering. This determination agrees with a preliminary finding reached last week by federal investigators from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration on March the 9th. A 56-year-old woman driving a 2005 Prius Hybrid forward out of a driveway in Harrison was injured when the Prius speeded out of the driveway across a busy street and into a stone wall. The car reached a top speed of 35 miles per hour during a short drive that ended when the Prius struck a stone wall across a busy street from the driveway at 27 miles per hour. Maricini said he believes the Toyota Prius cars are safe. This is when he offered the opinion, quite honestly, I'd have no problems about putting my own family in one. I'm sure he's going to, I swear to God, he'll hear about that from the city council or somebody. You know, what is it with you and your opinion? Well, yes, I don't care, chief. What are you doing, a commercial? They're going to sign you for a commercial? But nonetheless, what the police found was that this woman had not been pushing the brake, but in point of fact, the accelerator was depressed. Had she depressed the accelerator? We don't know. The accelerator was 100% depressed, that is, pushed to the floor. The brake was not applied at all. Now, I want to ask a question at this particular juncture. If the accelerator is depressed all the way to the floor, how fast are we talking? 35 miles an hour, according to this story, 27 miles per hour when it hit the wall. It was across the street from the garage. I'm sure there's an explanation. Just because you floor it doesn't necessarily mean the car's getting up to top speed in that span, that distance between wherever she started on her driveway and the brick wall or the wall across the street from her house. But they are saying that the accelerator was depressed and she never applied the brake. How do they know this? Well, they know this, folks, because with today's modern onboard computers, today's auto mechanic, who is no longer the grease monkey of old, but is in point of fact a guy who knows how to hook the car up to a computer and read the computer, they can track what they call events. They can tell within the last few days exactly what the speeds of the car were, you know, what happened, where, how, and when. And if something aberrant took place, the computer will read it, and then you go into the car and you find wherever that is that the computer is finding trouble and you fix it. This happened with my Jaguar, I told you. When I had an acceleration problem on the 101 freeway up near Santa Barbara, I had to pull over, turn the key off, and went, okay, this is interesting. The car was racing away from me. I was applying the brake. I moved over to the side of the road. They came. They got the car. When they finally got the car back to the Jaguar dealership, they couldn't find anything wrong with the car. They kept the car for 4 days, called the Jaguar factory, had the factory guys come over. They busted out the computer, took a look at the activity, if you will, or took a look at the use of the car over the preceding few days, and they saw this event that I described to them. They saw the acceleration of the car. But there was nothing wrong in terms of the accelerator, nothing wrong in terms of the carburation, nothing going on inside the engine of the car. And they realized that the rug, and they simulated this, they realized the rug had gone up underneath the accelerator and caused this acceleration to take place. They saw that I had applied the brake. They saw that the engine was racing. They saw that the car was turned off abruptly. They saw all of these things that I described to them. Now, this woman in Harrison, New York, well, she's not telling the truth now, is she?
What do you mean? Are you saying she's lying?
If she says she was pushing the brake down all the time and they find no indication of the brake having been touched, yeah, she's lying.
Why?
Well, take three guesses, man.
Yeah, man, I've been suing them. Oh.
Yeah. Everybody sees a payday, see? This is, folks, as you well know, This is a cottage industry. This is an industry, albeit illegal, that's been going on for a long time. It's called insurance fraud, and people have been working this game for decades, if not centuries. Insurance fraud is one of the oldest games in town, and people are trying to game the system every which way but loose, baby. If it isn't some guy who, you know, took out a life insurance policy on a wife and all of a sudden, oh, wow, she died in a plane crash. No kidding, yeah. If it isn't one of those guys, now we get the latest here. Guess what? This guy's watching news one night. He sees that Toyota's got a problem, and it might be a big legal problem. He decides he's going to cash in. Gets into his car one day. Oh, my goodness gracious, it's out of control. Is it now? These companies, by the way, fight back very, very hard now. Very hard. I just had dinner, and I'm not even going to name the restaurant, but we were in New York at a fantastic steakhouse. It wasn't my favorite steakhouse. My favorite steakhouse in New York is in Brooklyn. That's Peter Luger's. But it's a great steakhouse. This steakhouse, a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, was the object of attempted litigation on the part of a customer, a female who claimed she'd found a condom in her clam chowder. And you guys know the story of the finger in the chili? Well, this is the same thing. What happens now is these companies are not just paying out. They're not just saying, oh boy, I want to avoid the publicity, I'll pay. No. They ain't playing that anymore. They track through the quality control that they have exactly where that clam chowder came from, manufacturer, the canning process, where that can is that clam chowder came out of, where the clams were caught, where the potatoes were grown, I mean, where the milk was milked. They go all the way back to the beginning through the entire process, the quality control process, and they determined at no time, did a condom ever get into that clam chowder? So we believe, ma'am, you're lying. We think you brought that condom into the restaurant in your purse. And we believe that you pulled it out of your purse at the right time and you put it into the clam chowder. That's what we believe. That's what the attorneys for this company argued. Guess what happened?
She dropped the suit.
She dropped the suit. Isn't that something? You better believe she dropped the suit. And she's lucky that she didn't wind up in bracelets, handcuffs. Now we have possibly the same situation here with someone claiming, I had the brake the whole way. Well, guess what? They just looked at the computer. Your brake wasn't depressed at all. You were hitting the gas, or somebody was hitting the gas. Who do you think we are? And when do you think we were born? And what time of day do you think it was when we were born? And if you can answer all of those questions, then you win the prize. No, so essentially it's somebody else trying to cash in. It's a very interesting game, and we're looking at it. We have a ringside seat to this game. See, living life, man, just all you got to do is pick up the newspaper. When I say pick up the newspaper, I mean figuratively. You can just, you know, log on, man, check out the news. And every day you got a ringside seat to some other aberrant, amazing, not so amazing aspect of human nature. It's a beautiful thing, man. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we've got the stories that we couldn't get to coming up next as we lock out on this Monday night, Tuesday morning here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Adam Carolla is going to be joining us on Wednesday night. Time now for Great Minds at Work on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Great Minds at Work, of course. Spotlights. Original thinking. Stuff we ain't never thought about before until these great minds at work brought it to our attention. Did you know that men take more risks around hot chicks?
Great Minds at Work!
Great Minds at Work is right. It's official. Men act like idiots around beautiful women. According to new research published in the Social, Psychological, and Personality Science Journal, guys are more likely to engage in dangerous physical risk-taking if they know an attractive member of the opposite sex is watching. As we all know, territory and sex are the two aspects of the human nature that we will risk our lives for. We will risk everything for sex and territory. Great minds at work? Not quite. Because we figured this one out years ago. In fact, the territorial imperative... Well, never mind. Anyway, to find out whether men will risk their life and limb to impress a woman, a team of psychologists at Australia's University of Queensland asked 96 male skateboarders with an average age of 22 to demonstrate easy and difficult tricks. After a short break, they were asked to pull the same stunts while being filmed by a man and then by an attractive 18-year-old girl. Following each stunt, the researchers took saliva samples and tested the skateboard... Get out of here, man. Anyway, they took saliva samples.
Let me see here now.
They're checking the level of testosterone that got pumped into the system when some hot chick was filming them, as opposed to, you know.
Well, what about like a hot older woman?
What? I don't know, bud. They did the thing. What do you mean a hot older woman?
Yeah, they might have had a similar reaction, you know.
I don't give a crap what kind of reaction they had. Are you guys serious?
Yeah, well, if you take a risk on account of a lady, if you take a risk on account of a lady, okay? Say you do on account of a lady.
I heard you, yes.
All right. You're going to take a big risk on account of a lady. Would you do it? Okay. For young or
would you shut up?
No, really, man.
Really, man? What? Are you guys serious? I guess. Yeah, sure. Guys will take a risk, whether it's a hot older woman, a young woman, a woman, your grandmother. Okay, you happy?
I wouldn't take a risk on account of my mom. I mean, I would, because she's my mom and I love her, but not on account I want to go to bed with my mom. What's the matter?
Because you're an idiot. That's what's the matter. Okay? What's the matter?
I'm saying I don't want to go to bed with my mom.
Well, that's great, bud. You want to say it a little louder? Bud doesn't want to go to bed with his mom.
Okay, you're right, man.
Yeah.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to. Citizens told to brush up on etiquette. India has compiled a list of do's and don'ts for its citizens at this year's Commonwealth Games to help showcase New Delhi's charms. We want to tell them, don't urinate in public, don't spit, keep your houses and shops clean, keep public transport safe and such things, Delhi Tourism Chief Reena Ray told the Hindustani Times on Friday. This will tell every Delhiite that instead of being on the sidelines as a spectator, he or she can contribute to a better Games. It's one of them keep our city clean deals, you know. New Delhi is preparing to host more than 100,000 foreign visitors during the October 3rd to the 14th event, and the Indian capital hopes to use the Games to show itself off as a truly global city. These things like the Commonwealth Games and the Goodwill Games, they're kind of weird, you know?
Why?
I don't know. I can't really get jazzed about any of it. We don't have any Commonwealth Games. That's the British Empire, former British Empire, you know. And so what do we have? We ain't got nothing. We have the Blue-Gray Game. Anyway, in other news, real-world toilet prank lands housemate in ER, Dateline New Orleans. Two cast members from the upcoming The Real World New Orleans are already making headlines after an argument went a little too far. Although the show hasn't even aired yet, castmate Ryan Leslie contacted New Orleans authorities alleging his roommate, Preston Robertson Charles, urinated on his toothbrush and used the instrument to scrub out a toilet, according to MSNBC reports. According to the police report obtained by the Times Picayune, Leslie says he was found a what do you want?
What's a Picayune?
I don't know, bud. Don't bug me while I'm reading this, okay? According to the New Orleans Times Picayune, Leslie says he was forced to visit the hospital after becoming sick, which he said was caused by the tainted toothbrush. Though police conducted interviews and confiscated evidence, no one was arrested. I don't know what a Picayune is, man.
Look, man, why don't you look it up on Wikipedia?
Phil says don't use it.
You know what, man? If it's on Wikipedia, believe it. A Picayune, because it doesn't matter. Swarms of bees have showered parts of southern Taiwan with their droppings, leading locals to believe airplane toilets were being emptied over their homes. Well, how big are these bee turds?
Gotta be pretty big, man.
Good God. Bee droppings are harmless to Indian, or to human health. To Indian. I wonder why I read Indian, because we just were reading a story there. Anyway, the droppings are harmless to human health, but it's very difficult to wash off, according to the city's Environmental Protection Bureau chief. The Bureau can't do anything about the bees, so we urge the public to be careful. The Bureau said it had received many calls complaining about strange yellow flakes left on cars and laundry, and angry residents requested the airline companies clean up their act. I mean, good God, they think it's coming from an airplane? These bee turds must be, well, the size of...
Yeah, you imagine a bee? Boy, that's nuts.
No, it isn't that. It's something else. However, a lab analysis found the flakes were, in fact, bee droppings. Well, how are you going to confuse yellow flakes for human waste? What is going on in China? What? Seriously, who's in charge of that part of the world? In London, it's common to return a library book late, but not a half a century. You're kidding. Staff at a British library say they were surprised and puzzled when they received a book that was 45 years overdue. Alison Laurie, the principal assistant at Dinnigan Library near Northern England's Sheffield, says the Penguin first edition copy of
Quartermass and the Pit by Nigel Neal was due back on October the 15th, 1965. She says the borrower remains a mystery because the library records don't go back that far and the sender didn't attach a letter or a note with the book. Lori said Friday the sender need not worry about a hefty fine. She says if the person who returned the book wants to come forward, we'd love to know the story behind it. But other than that, we swear to God, and then the person comes forward, they have them arrested. That'd be fantastic.
Are you kidding? They'd sue.
I'd love to do that. Just, I swear to God, we don't want to. We just would love to know a fascinating story about you having the book.
Yes, I say it's me.
You're under arrest. Finally, the glamorous Orange Revolution princess and former premier Yulia Tymoshenko may be now in opposition, but her ghosts are still haunting the government offices in the Ukraine. Or so her successor insists. Every time we get a story out of Russia, I can't read it, and it's confusing. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to read this one either.
Here.
Great. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. We have a very big announcement coming concerning our website. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, go to philhenryshow.com for live streaming video every day, live audio downloads. We have all of our shows in the archives. Check it out there at philhenryshow.com. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.